Yudzayin Adar, Simanayin Beis Halacha Chaf. We're going to Simanayin Gimel Halacha Dalet. Continuing with the laws of Shabbos, very interesting halacha. So we mentioned the old days, the way they used to keep the heat in to the oven, they used to seal it with some type of sealant, like clay or cement. In order to open it, you'd have to basically knock it down and destroy it. So the shaila is, can you do it yourself? So the Chatchila, the Kitzur says that you should use a non-Jew. And we'll get to a whole discussion of you doing malacha through a non-Jew. But the real pshat here is, the explanation is because it's not the raisa. Destroying something is a malacha of soisa only when there's a purpose in it, and the fixing in it, meaning you're fixing something through there, you're knocking it down in order to rebuild something. Here, it's really an isa d'rabbanan. So the chatchila still, we try to do with a non-Jew. If a non-Jew is not available, you could use any cotton, you could use a young boy, a child. Now this is also opens up a can of worms, literally in halacha, that you could use a child. So I saw one of the explanations is that using a cotton, the Piskei Teshuvos writes this concept, is that first of all, you see from here that, yeah, when there's something that's not mamash aser, and may it be a derabanan, or even let's say something that's not even a derabanan, the point is, using a katan is permitted. It still requires that a person not train the katan to do malachas all the time, and to train him that to be careful with hecha Shabbos. But certainly you see that there's a heter using a katan, there's a bir alachos, and shin mem gim, if I'm not mistaken, around there where he discusses this, when we were giving shiurim and hecha Shabbos, and sure, we discussed the idea of opening a fridge, when necessary, using a katan. You know, because the light sometimes is left on. These are all interesting shailas, but the concept, the foundation is certainly in this halacha. Now, what happens if the child is not even around? See, even an adult is allowed to open it, but you should do bishinui. You should do it in an unusual way. Maybe the knocking down the cement, the cement with your foot or something. But what you see here is another interesting concept. This is called like a double drabanan. It means whenever there's a rabbinical question, and you want to be even extra careful, so you do it b'shinu, you mean to double the Rabbanan and trade the Rabbanan. Even this is the Mishabot HaChavetz Chaim also discusses this. I think that's in that Siman Shimon Gim, Shema, if I've got exactly where. But the that's the concept. That's number one. Number two, when it comes to Hatmana, the world of Hatmana is such an interesting halacha. Not as common, but I wouldn't say not common, still even today. It's not so common to use things that what the Chazal consider Maisi Fevel. Let's make a clarification. Hatmana means to insulate something completely. If you insulate something completely, even before Shabbos, but using something that creates and adds heat, so it's a heat conductor, not very common today, but let's say sand, so that would be a problem. You wouldn't be able to do that. The reason is because you might do it with coals and end up lighting it up and igniting it on Shabbos. But even on Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to insulate something completely, even if it's not Moisi Fevel, if it doesn't produce heat and increase the heat. So you would think, so maybe it's not. So for example, you take a kugel and you want to wrap it up, right? The kugel's on the blech, and you want to now completely wrap it up with a towel. Can't do that. That's considered insulating with something that's not Moisi Fevel on Shabbos. But there's another very interesting shaila. And that was, I mean, it was a combination, meaning to say, let's say you have fire, and use the equivalent, let's say you have a blech, and you have a pot on the blech. Now, the pot is obviously revealed. You take a towel, you want to cover the blech, let's say the fire is not so strong. So interesting that here the Shulchan Aruch says, and therefore the Sfaradim are more machmelim, but even Ashkenazim, Chatchila, as we'll see, it's preferable that you do not completely cover it. And the reason is because together with the heat source, plus the covering, what you really have here is now something that's Moisi Fevel. It's adding heat using the conductor of heat on below. So again, Sfaradim Lichor would be more machmir, but even Ashkenazim, as the Kitzur points out, the best thing to do is to make sure that it's not completely enveloped on top. So one of the eights is you put a board on top of the pot, so when you throw a towel, it doesn't cover completely, it doesn't hug the actual pot. By the way, this is similar to the concept of why is it you're allowed to use a crock pot? It was a very, very controversy when Rav Shlomo Zalman Rebbe was nifter right before he died, whether he said that a crock pot is okay or not okay. At the end of the day, you're putting something in and out, and it seems to be insulated, but in truth, there's space, and therefore it's not such a problem. There might be a different problem of putting back a pot of chillin that you took out the insert, and you want to put it back because of the shayla chazal. So therefore, one of the best things is to do is to have something on the bottom so it's lifted up, and the knob should be covered or removed. This is what's called gufa viktuma, and usually that it avoids all problems. The kitz is discussing an interesting case of the coffee that was insulated, or you're trying to insulate it in sand. So he describes the idea of not fully insulating it, because again, this is a good combination of something that's a source of heat, or it's something that conducts heat, and plus you want to cover it completely. So he tells you how to not fully cover it, which is what we described before. This is a whole interesting discussion about making coffee before Shabbos. Maybe another time we'll discuss that, if you could put it like on a timer. Now, next, the Kitzah says that a person has to, before dark, before Shkia, ask his household in a very soft language. What an amazing lesson. Not screaming and not being in a craze, but rather in a soft language. Honey, did you take off the challah? And then to politely say, Hadlikus aner, light the candles. Because that he could see if the candles are lit or not. In truth, he should also make sure that the candles are ready to be lit. Also, the Peskim say today, Froshas Chala, Chumas and Maises, many of the things that Erabte, Mesarte, Marivite, Taneo, meaning all the different things that the Gemara discusses, may not apply so much, and not very common. Even a Froshas Chala, usually that's not a concern. So, therefore, the real thing is to ask, is there anything that needs to be done, or have a list of the classical things that are forgotten, whether it's to put the urn in, to make the tea scents, etc. A person also should check his clothing before he goes out on Shabbos. Why? Because he might have something that's attached to it. Now, the Poskim say that this also is not so applicable today, because in the old days, they actually wore the same clothing, just they made it longer. So they didn't always have the special Shabbos clothing. Of course, the Chatchila, we said that they should. So therefore, Me'ikar Adin, this halacha doesn't apply so much. However, in today's world, I think it does. Because many times people wear Shabbos clothing, and they wear a Shabbos suit for a wedding, etc. And therefore, they have money inside, and who knows what. So it's definitely good to check your pockets before you go. Siman Ayin Gimel starts the world of Amir Lakum. This is so, and again, I think there's a lot of misconceptions how it became, Baruch Hashem, people are blessed to have what's cleaning ladies, and maybe cleaning ladies for the entire week. And many times it runs into serious questions of Amir Lakum. And of course, Shabbos is the source of bracha. Someone mamish just today, as I was making this recording, WhatsApp me about a shayla building his house, having workers on Shabbos. So let's understand all the background of these halachas. So really, it's all based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kol malacha lo yaseh." It's a pasuk in Parshas Boy. Malacha should not be done on Shabbos, and since it's written in a form of "should not be done," so there is actually a mechilta that says that it refers to a non-Jew. So some learn actually that this is a nisa d'oraisa to have a non-Jew do work for you on Shabbos. The mice we paskin as the rabbanan. So there's two other reasons that are given. Rashi in Maseches Avodah Zarah says it's because Dabba Dava, you're not supposed to tell a non-Jew on Shabbos to do malacha, because you should be saying things that are work-related. The other pshat is Rashi in Maseches Shabbos, it says it's because of shlichus. No, when you tell a non-Jew to do something for you, it's considered as if you're doing it. It's not a real shlichus, because there's no shlichus for a non-Jew, technically, but here we say there's a shlichus l'chumah, but there's a tremendous nafkamina. That means to say, the Igli Tal says an amazing thing, that, for example, if you learn that it's because of Dabba Dabba, then it would only apply in something when you're telling a non-Jew on Shabbos. But if you told them before Shabbos, hey, I need you to cook for me something on Shabbos, it would be okay. And on the other hand, if you learn this because of Shlichus, that wouldn't be okay. And therefore, we are Machmir, we're stringent on all different levels. So now, comes the Kitzur and tells us that exactly what we started with. All malachas should not be done, meaning that even through a non-Jew. So if you tell a non-Jew, before Shabbos, to do something for you. So then there's five conditions that will allow such a thing to happen. We're going to discuss today four conditions. So again, even though the non-Jew may be doing malach on Shabbos, but if there's the five conditions that we're going to relate now, at least four tonight, is going to allow you to be able to do so. So the first condition is that the non-Jew does not do any malacha in your home. This applies also to cleaning ladies that are washing and ironing clothing. There is a very interesting Moshe that's quoted in Rav Simcha Bonim. I don't think it's in the Tshuvas, that there's some leniency when it comes to a woman that works the entire week. We'll get to that, but let's do some things simple. First step is non-Jews should not be doing for you any malacha that you can't do on Shabbos. They could do something that can be done in their chetla. For example, they could use boiling hot water, even though you're not supposed to do hot water, because they could use cold water to wash. Well, maybe we'll get to that, but I want to simplify things first. The second condition is that you have to be koitzitz. You have to tell the non-Jew you're going to pay him. So then, when he's doing it, he's doing the malacha really for himself. It's called adaita denafshi, and that's the reason why if someone has, like we said, a worker for a specific amount of time, is going to be a problem. Now, additionally, so the kitz already discusses if a non-Jew is traveling and you give him a letter to carry, and he's going to carry it on Shabbos, so you have to pay him something. You have to pay him something. So this way, he's doing adaita denafshi. This is a tremendous, of course, application when it comes to going to to send something in the mail. So the halacha is that if you're going to, so you're going to the post office, the halacha is that if you're telling them you want to send a letter, as long as you don't specify that you want it to be done on Shabbos and you're paying them, it should be okay. So when is there a big question? FedEx and all these type of overnights. That's a major question because at that point, you're really telling them to do it on Shabbos. There is a heter. There's a heter that the Mishnah Berurah himself actually quotes. So when you tell a non-Jew who tells another Jew to do something, so it's John to whatever, John to Jay. So if it's one non-Jew to another non-Jew, so it's called Amira de Amira, and then the second non-Jew doesn't know that the first non-Jew was doing it on behalf of the Jew, so there's a heter. So again, it's when there's a specific need, it's a loss, I usually tell people then it's okay. Otherwise, really, it's better not to. Now, the third condition is that the schar has to be a set for the entire work. Otherwise, it ends up being that the non-Jew is like a schir yom, he's working for the day. Now, this too has a lot of applications. Really, whenever there's what's called kablonos, that means you're paying for the entire job. You know, you go and you give your cleaners. So the halacha is even if you go before Shabbos and you're giving your shirts to be cleaned, and there's a set amount of that you pay for the job, and you're not telling them to do it on Shabbos, so it should be okay. And that's in fact what the fourth condition is. So the fourth condition for today is that you're telling the non-Jew, yeah, I'm paying you for the job, and I'm not telling them they have to do it on Shabbos. Now, even though they might do it on Shabbos, for example, I'm telling them I'm picking it up on Sunday, the halacha is, so long as they have time, that means either I came on Friday early enough that they could have done it before Shabbos, or they could easily work on Sunday morning. Motzei Shabbos is a debate, because if it's something so unusual, no one will open up the store. So then some say it shouldn't be. But the point is, as long as you're not telling them to do it on Shabbos, so then they're choosing to do it when they want to do it. And if they choose not to do it Friday afternoon, instead they want to do it, they're doing it on Shabbos, not a problem. Interesting that the Kitzur goes on to say, if there's what's called Yom HaShuk, you live in a neighborhood where there's only one day, send someone a non-Jew with a letter, and it's known that the only way, if he's only going to go on Shabbos, or you give someone money, a non-Jew money to invest or to buy something for you, but there's only one day that they sell this item and it's on Shabbos, that's a problem. Because again, it's basically tantamount to telling him to do it on Shabbos. And that's what the Kitzur says, that it's best not even to live in a city where their Yerim HaShuk is on Shabbos. It's very difficult to avoid the problems, unless the Shuk is not in the Jewish neighborhood. Okay, we're going to hold here.